title of the message today is Grace. Grace is unconditional. Grace unconditional. It's not any condition that we can put up on ourselves before God to get God to receive us in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It's only by God's grace that we come to a knowledge of ourselves. It's only by God's grace that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only by God's grace that we serve Him and magnify Him in our hearts by His grace. It's all of grace, and it's all of grace from purpose to eternity, ain't it? It's all of God's grace. And God gives His people a heart knowledge of this. He gives them faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they come helpless within themselves, and then they see Christ as their all, and they look to Christ. And they know that it's God's grace that works in them to see Christ and to know Christ and to serve Christ. And in 2 Timothy 1:9, he says, "Who have saved us and called us." He's talking about God's purpose and God's purpose before the foundation of the world. He saved us. He looked at us upon us in the person of His Son, and we were saved in Christ. Christ stood as a lamb slain. In the fullness of God's time, He would send Him forth to die under all those whom He saw in His Son, wasn't it? Christ would come and represent them in the flesh and serve in their place instead, and to die under the wrath of God against them. So God saved us in His purpose, and He saved us in reality and sending Christ, didn't He? Christ died for us, His people. And in time, He reveals that to the hearts of His people. In God's time, He'll speak to their hearts, revealing unto them who they are in His light, and bring them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is their all. A true and right faith I'm talking about. Everybody that professes Christ don't know Christ, but I'm talking about the true children of God, whom He brings to true faith in the heart by His grace through a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And He does this according to His own purpose. It's not because of anything in them or anything that He would see in them, because they're altogether unrighteous. They're altogether sin. They're ruined by the fall, ain't they? We can't do anything or be anything. You hear that well taught by Roland. Very plain. But He saves His people according to His own purpose. He calls them by His grace. He reveals His Son in truth in them. He gives them a heart to receive Him and look to Him and rest in Him. So He calls us by His purpose and grace, don't He? Not only did God purpose in Christ to have a people, He sent Christ. And He works grace in their hearts to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will do this. He does do this. Election is not salvation, but we're elected unto salvation. All those whom are elected will come to Christ. They'll know Christ. They'll see Christ. They'll believe on Christ. They'll bow to and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was according to God's purpose and grace. It's nothing within us, nothing of us, but it's all of God. Salvation is all of God. So all this purpose of God, and when He brings it to pass through His grace, was given to us in Christ before the world began. Most churches and religious leaders, they claim to believe in and teach salvation by grace, don't they? You can't go anywhere, I don't know of anywhere that you can go that people don't claim to believe in the grace of God. You hear it all the time. They believe in the grace of God. They claim they teach salvation by grace. But they say salvation is dependent upon man. Therefore, they don't know what grace is. Grace is only of God. Grace is God giving to the undeserving what they don't deserve. That's grace, ain't it? God, that's mercy. God giving us what we don't deserve. That's grace. But they preach grace depends upon the will of man. Grace does not depend upon the will of man. It would be no more grace. If it depended on me, anything that I am or do, then it would be by works. And it would be no more of grace. You see, that's what he said in Romans 11, 6. That's what Paul said. And if by grace, then it's no more of works. It's not anything that you do or anything that you perform or anything that you are by nature. You are nothing and can do nothing before God to get Him to receive you. God must work grace in my heart to kill me, to bring me to despair of myself, and bring me to faith in the one that took my place and bring me to rest in Him. You see that? It's of grace. It's all of God. Therefore, it's of grace. It's something that we don't deserve. If we deserve anything towards God, then it's not of grace. It would have to be of works. It would have to be. And if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If you put 99 and 99 100% grace and 1% works, you've added them together, then it becomes no more of grace. It has to be all of works if you put works in there. And it can't be of works, he said. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, his work would be no more work. See, for by grace are you saved. That's plain, ain't it? That's what they preach. You're saved by grace, but it depends upon you. That's not grace. You see what I'm saying? That is not grace. That's the works of evil men by nature. So it's not dependent upon me. It's dependent upon God Himself, as God is pleased to do with. You see that? It's by grace to undeserving creatures. That's what makes it grace. If I deserve it, it's not grace. You see that? But it is of grace, and it's to the undeserving. All those who are in the covenant of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be brought to a saving knowledge of who they are in the light of God, and they will see Christ as their all in all. You see what I'm saying? They will gladly bow to Him. See? Gladly. Willfully. Won't they? Bow to Him. And they'll come to rest in Him. It is all of grace. It's all of God through Christ to the hearts of His people. And through His people unto eternity. That's it. It's all of grace. So if we put a condition upon grace, it's no more grace. It's not grace at all. It becomes works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace, you see. So any condition which is placed upon grace before conversion or in conversion or after conversion makes it works. It's not grace. And you can't make it work because God said it's of grace and you're by nature are evil. You see that? And you can't do anything or be anything before God to get God to receive you. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you do this, it's not of you. You see what I'm saying? It's God at work within you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure to bring you to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not anything pertaining to works whatsoever. Roland talked about works. Works is the attitude of God's people's heart towards God. In honor to God, not to be justified, but because they love Christ. And they have faith in Christ, and they look to Christ, and they honor Christ. See that? The Holy Spirit seeks to serve Christ, but we can't serve Christ in a way that God can receive us apart from Christ. It has to go through Christ, and Christ has to take it and bring it to God in Himself, rightfully and truthfully. We look to Christ. Therefore, we look to Christ, don't we, Roland? We don't look anywhere else but God's grace. We can't look anywhere else. If we look at ourselves, we don't see anything but ruin and corruption and misery and sin and helplessness. But in Christ, we see all. See? He's all in everything. The Scriptures insert universally that salvation in its entirety is by the free and sovereign grace of God, the unconditional grace of God. The grace of God is unconditional. I've got to get into a certain condition and then I can do this or I can do that and be pleasing to God. No, you can't. No, you can't get in a condition to cause God to receive you. You must, by grace, look to the Lord Jesus Christ and depend upon Him entirely as your substitute before God. It's unconditional grace of God. It's in Christ. Grace is in Christ. The grace of God to the hearts of His people points them to Christ and keeps them looking to Christ. So they didn't have anything to do with it. They're just recipients. You see what I'm saying? They're not producers. They're recipients. Conditional grace is a denial of the gospel of God. The gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, which people call it, that don't know grace. You see what I'm saying? Grace is unconditional. Election is unconditional. Right? You say, well, God elected me if I do this, and then God already saw that I was going to do this, therefore He elected me because of something I did for Him. That's not grace. That's the works of man in their evil nature. Grace is looking to Christ. You see that? Electing grace is unconditional. You didn't have anything to do with it. You weren't born. There was nobody. God had all to do with it. See? Electing grace is unconditional. For whom He did foreknow. See that? He did predestinate or predetermine their destination. They would in time come to Christ, yes, by the grace of God. But He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son. He would make them just like His Son in His time, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Christ is the firstborn, ain't He? All others are born in Christ, new creatures in Christ. Apart from Christ, God's a consuming fire. Ephesians 1:4 said it's according to His choosing. It's according as He hath chosen us in Christ. You see that? It's all in Christ, and it's by God's grace before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him. How would we be holy? He chose us in Christ to be holy. We would be we're in Christ by the purpose of God. When Christ would come, He would represent and die for us and put away sin once and for all by the sacrifice of Himself. And therefore, in Christ, only in Christ, we're holy. We shall be like Him, made exactly like Him, but He's still our Lord, and we're still in Christ, and we'll be made like Him. And it's not anything in us or of us. This old nature has to be changed, don't it? It does, yeah. Into His nature. So, God didn't choose us because of our works. It's not the works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He saved us. Our faith in Christ, our faith. We have faith in Christ. We look to Christ. We rest in Christ. We trust Christ. Do we count anything in our faith? Well, I'm saved because I have faith. No, you're not. You have faith because you are saved. You see that? That's the difference. Faith looks to Christ. Faith don't look to faith. Faith rests in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the gift of God. It's not a result of man or an attitude of man or something that man does for God. It's something God does for man and in man. So our faith in Christ and the works of faith is a result of Christ in you. You see that? Faith in you that God's put there. We are unable to perform works in a rightful attitude, in a rightful manner, only because of the grace of God that He's worked in us by making us new creatures in Christ and working in our hearts to His honor and to His praise. So our faith in Christ, the works of faith, we are unable to perform, are the results of the grace of God, not the cause of God's grace. Faith is a result of grace, ain't it? Not the cause. This is not the cause of our election with God. This is a result of our election with God. See what I'm saying? To preach conditional election is to preach salvation by works. You can't put a condition upon election. God elected the people according to His own purpose and will. He didn't look down and say, that's going to serve me, I'm going to elect him. That'd be according to your purpose and will. You see that? But God elected them according to His own will. They are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit in obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? See, they're God's elect. You didn't elect God. God elected you. And if God elected you, who's going to lay anything to your charge? And Roland Tom, Christ died for you. Sin's been put away. We fail and come short of the glory of God continuously. But through Christ, we're accepted in the Beloved. Sin has been put away. God has been satisfied. That's it. Ephesians 1, 3 and 4 said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who have blessed us. God didn't look down and say, He's going to bless me, therefore I'm going to choose Him. No. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who blessed us in heavenly places in Christ. How did He bless us? According to His own choosing, His own will, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. 2 Timothy 1:9 said, who saved us? He saved us. We didn't have anything to do with it. It had to do with us. You see what I'm saying? You don't have anything to do with salvation. Salvation has to do with you if you come to faith in Christ, who saved us and called us. That's what we're talking about. Romans 9:11-13 says, for the children of God being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Children of God that hadn't done anything. They weren't even in this world. And besides, in their nature, they couldn't do anything. Neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election. See, God elected them. They didn't elect Him. He elected them, and He worked grace in their heart. He brought them to a saving knowledge of Christ and to despair of self, didn't He? He caused them to look to Christ and to rest in Christ and to follow Christ. That's their desire. That the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calls. It was said unto her, the elders shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Why would He love Jacob and hate Esau? Only because of God's own purpose and will, His own grace and glory to Himself. See that? For by grace, it's all of grace. That's why. Redeeming grace is unconditional, ain't it? Electing grace is unconditional. Redeeming grace is also unconditional. Where in the Bible does God set forth redemption as being a work of man in order to gain favor? Nowhere. He has redeemed us. See that? It's not what you had to do with God. It's what He had to do with you. You see the difference? He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He took our place before God. He redeemed us. That was in God's purpose, in His electing grace. And then, now it's in His redeeming time, His redeeming grace. He redeemed us. He put away sin. And in time, God calls them to Christ. Redemption is not what we accomplish before God. It's what Christ accomplished on our behalf. See that? He redeemed us. In time, it's effectually applied to the heart by the grace and power of God. But we didn't have anything to do with it. It had to do with us. If we believe on Christ, it's not because we. You know where we was at. We were in self-righteous religion. We were in the Free Will Baptist, trying to serve God with our hands and feet, wasn't we? We didn't know God. We tried to do what we could to justify ourselves before God. We didn't know God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. It's His redeeming grace. He had redeemed us. He had worked grace in our hearts. He effectually applied it to his people in his time, don't he? By his power, by his Holy Spirit. You didn't reach out and take hold of the Spirit. The Spirit created life in you. Galatians 3:13 tells us Christ had redeemed us, see that, from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for us. He took our place. He suffered the wrath of God against us. The wrath satisfied Israel and said there's no condemnation. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. You see that? He entered in once into the holy place. Those gates, goats and calves and things under the law could not represent men. Only Christ can represent men. They just pointed to Christ, the one sacrifice. See that? And by that one sacrifice, that one offering, he perfected forever them that are chosen, them that are sanctified, them that are made holy in him. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, see that? Sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. Those pointed to Christ, didn't they? So how much more shall the blood of Christ? Through those offerings, they look to Christ. We look to Christ by the grace of God, and all who's already come and went back, and he's coming back again. Who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He purges your conscience from dead works. What's dead works? Dead works is trying to justify yourself before God. When you see Christ as your substitute and yourself in your sin and Christ is your all, your conscience is purged, ain't it? You don't try to serve God in order to be saved. No. You're already justified in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He redeemed us. We've been redeemed. Those who by God's grace look to Christ and rest in Christ through a true knowledge of the Word in their heart, they have been redeemed. That's it. They're redeemed. And we have justifying grace, don't we? We're justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's people are justified. What does it mean to be justified? Always remember this. Just if I'd never sinned. That's justified. To be counted before God as though you had never committed one sin. Why? How are you counted that way? Because sin is completely annihilated. Sin is completely put away once and for all by the sacrifice of Christ. It's been put away. There is no condemnation. There is no sin between me and God for God to punish. You see what I'm saying? Sin has done been punished. I'm a sinner in this flesh, yes. And I come short and fail the glory of God. But in Christ, I'm justified. I'm counted before God as though I had never sinned in my life. That's right. So we're justified freely by the grace of God, which is in Christ Jesus, through the redemption that is in Christ. And to preach conditional election is to preach salvation by works. Right? And to preach salvation by works is to preach a false gospel. And to preach a false gospel is damning to the souls of men. Nobody's ever going to be saved under a false gospel. That's what we're saying. You must hear the truth by the grace of God. And it must be applied by the power of God to you. To you. And Christ must become your Savior. You see? We're justified freely. Freely. God justifies people. It's not what people does for God. It's what God does with his people. He justifies them in Christ. Being justified freely by his grace. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ. Through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 4:5 says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You see that? He has true faith. That's what he's saying. to him that worketh not for justification. That don't mean, he didn't mean you didn't work. He meant what you're working for. See, if you're working to be justified before God, then it's to him that worketh not to be justified. That's who it's to. See, but believeth, him that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ, him that believeth on him, he justifieth the ungodly. We know who we are, don't we? By nature, we're ungodly. But he justifies us. We're accepted in him. God looked at me as I am. He'd have to condemn me to eternal damnation. But in Christ, I'm justified. If I'm in Christ, I'm holy before God. How holy? As holy as God. Can you explain that? No, I can't. But it's so. God couldn't accept me any other way. So it's justifying grace. It's a regenerating grace, ain't it? You have He quickened. You come to Christ. And because you come to Christ, you're saved. Is that what He said? No. He quickened you. He caused you to despair. He brought you to Christ. See that? He worked grace in you, the Spirit in you. He gave you faith. He gave you the Word. He gave you understanding of the Word. You saw yourself. You know who you are. You know who Christ is. You came to Christ. That's regenerating grace. If you've come to Christ in regenerating grace, you've been quickened by the Holy Spirit. You've been made alive. You really see Christ. You see yourselves in the light of God, and you're nothing and nobody, but Christ is all. In this flesh, you know you were spiritually dead. You are spiritually dead in this flesh. By nature, children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love for us, He loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sin. And He hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So sinners by nature are spiritually dead. And to put any condition upon a sinner who is spiritually dead before they can live is to tell them that there is no hope. See that? If salvation is dependent upon a dead man, then there's no hope. I'm as much dead by nature as a dead man is in the flesh when he's lying here in front of us. See that? He can't move, he can't think, he can't do anything in that body. Well, that's how dead I am by nature. And for me to come to Christ, to God by nature, I can't do it. It's impossible. I have to be made a new creature in Christ. I have to be given faith in Christ. I have to be given trust and rest in Christ. I have to be given the righteousness of God in Christ and only in Christ. See that? It all has to be given to me. It's not anything I do for God, but it's what God does with me and in me. It's unconditional. If I had anything to do with it, it would be conditional. And it's not of works, it's of grace. See that? It can't be of works because of who I am. It has to be of grace because of who God is. John 1:11-13 says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him. See that? He came unto His own flesh and blood, His own nature there in flesh and blood in that regard. But they didn't receive Him. They couldn't. They couldn't by nature. But some did. Why? Because it was given unto them to receive Him. Why didn't all of them receive Him? It wasn't given unto them at the time, was it? It wasn't. He came into His own flesh and blood. His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave, there it is, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. How did they receive Him? He gave them the power to do it with. Even to them which believe on His name. What was the result of Him giving them that power, that revelation, that faith, and that knowledge? The result of it is they came to believe on Him. Who gave it to them? He did. They received Him. See that? He gave it to them. which were born, not of blood, there it is, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. They were born. If they received him in right, by the Spirit of God, in truth, they were born. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the Word of God, the true Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That means if you've been born again by the Spirit of God, brought to faith in Christ through the Word of God, that Word will live and abide forever. You'll never go back to yourself and justify yourself before God. That's what it's saying. It's regenerating grace. It's what God has done. It's what Christ has done. He quickened us and made us alive in Christ Jesus. Made us new creatures. John 3:8 says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. This is pertaining to the Spirit. God's Spirit. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or where it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. He sends it forth. See that? Wherever He directs it. They might be two sitting together at the same time. The gospel. But God might use His gospel to speak to the hearts of one and send it into that heart, and that other might not even know when nothing has been said. You see what I'm saying? That's the difference. The wind bloweth where He sends it. The Spirit goes where He sends it, where it listeth, where He directs it. But those that He directed to will believe on Christ. They will come to Christ. They will rest in Christ. But they don't stake anything in their coming. It wasn't because of their nature that they came. It's because of God. It's God bringing them. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are truth. When God speaks the Word to the hearts of His people, their Spirit, their truth. It's not of him that will. It's not of him that worketh or runneth. But it's of God alone that shows mercy to the undeserving. And we have sanctifying grace. Sanctified. Sanctifying grace. Unconditional. We're sanctified. We're holy. Perfect before God. Completely holy. Holy. Christ is our sanctification, ain't He? He is. He's our holiness. We don't dare to try to do anything or present ourselves in any way, shape, form, or fashion before God to get God to receive us on something that we are. No. Christ is our sanctification. We're perfect in Christ before God. That's what the Word of God teaches. Hebrews 10:10-14 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You see that? One time, that's it. He offered himself once. By one offering you are perfected forever. He hath perfected forever them that are chosen, them that are counted in Christ, looked upon in Christ, them that are sanctified. Christ put away their sin. The wrath of God is satisfied, right? You're sanctified. You're holy. Not in yourselves, no, but in Christ. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Those high priests back under the law, they offered up them sacrifices. These sacrifices didn't put away sin. These sacrifices didn't make men holy before God. They pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. That one sacrifice, by one offering, he had perfected. See that? He sanctified by one offering. But this man, after he had offered one, there it is, one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, how are we sanctified? By that one. Even when God purposed in Christ to have us, he looked at us in Christ, or he couldn't have purposed it. See that? That one offering, we're perfected forever in the Lord Jesus Christ. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. them that God had purposed, them that God chose. They were made holy. How? In the Lord Jesus Christ, in the mind of God. And in time, God sent him forth to do what he had already purposed. And in time, God will call those by his grace and by his power and reveal Christ in them, the hope of glory. They will come to faith in Christ by the grace of God. They will love Christ. They will serve Christ. They'll look to Christ. Their heart will rest upon Christ and nowhere else. They'll sin and come short of God's glory, yes, but they're accepted, I'm telling you. They seek to serve, don't they? They're accepted in the Beloved. Of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. There it is. There's our sanctification. We're perfect in Christ before God. It's nonsense for a man to preach conditional sanctification. You become more holy as you do more. No. That's the same nature you started with. What you do is really heap sin upon sin. That's what you do. The longer we live in this world, the more sin we heap up, really. Really it is. That's the more we sin and the more our minds think about the things that's not right and true. And in this flesh, we can't help it. We don't get better. You get worse. Worse. Really. It's only by the grace of God. Where does the Bible command a man to try to sanctify himself? Make yourself holy and live a good life. Be a child of God and I'll save you. He don't say that. That's not scripture. To preach conditional sanctification is to preach conditional holiness. You can put yourself in a condition to be holy. If you quit doing this or quit doing that, quit cursing, quit swearing, quit sinning, and you strive for perfection more and more, you're more sanctified. You get bigger and bigger and bigger, closer and closer and closer, until you get right into heaven. That just don't sound right, does it? No. We're sanctified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:13 says, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? What does the truth proclaim? Christ. Christ. Wherefore, whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth. There it is. He's been evidently set forth. How? Only in truth. In the truth. Crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Are you so foolish? If you've begun in the Spirit, having begun in the Spirit, are you so foolish to look back at the flesh and say, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll be more justified before God? When if you have faith in Christ, by the grace of God, new creature, you're justified completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're fully sanctified. You're counted holy. And you're going back to works to say that you can make yourself more holy? That's ignorance of God's righteousness and going about to establish your own righteousness. We serve Him because of faith and love, don't we? Not to justify ourselves, because when we look at what we've done, it's full of holes. It's full of sin. Christ takes it and straightens it out. And we have preserving grace, which is unconditional. And all the graces of God are unconditional. In Jude 1:1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus, and then called. See that? They were sanctified by God. What does that mean? That means that God counted them holy in Christ. Sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus. When? before the foundation of the world in the mind and purpose of God. It must come to pass. It did. It shall. He's coming back. They are preserved in Christ Jesus and then called. You know how you can things that, and you seal it, and that, when that seal pops, it goes down and it closes it off. It's preserved. And when that still, as long as it stays, that can't ruin. You know that? Well, God's people are preserved in Christ. They can't change directions. Mm-mm. They will be brought to Christ. See, they're preserved. That's what he's talking about here. Preserved in Christ Jesus and then called. They're preserved under their calling. God cannot fail but to call them. He will call them. They shall know Christ. They will bow to Christ, won't they? They will. They're preserved. God had preserved them in Christ before the world began. And he calls them in time when he's pleased to do so. But he will reveal Christ to their hearts. When those whom he preserves, he will speak to them. He will regenerate them, make them a new creature. John 10:27. Here's proof. 10:27-30. My sheep hear my voice. Whose voice is that? That's the voice of God. When they hear his gospel preached, they hear his voice. He speaks to their heart. He gives them a heart, and he speaks to that heart. And I know them. When did he know us? He always knew us. We didn't know him. But they will hear, my sheep hear, I'll see to it. I'll speak to them. And they follow me. Those that hear, they look to Christ. They follow after Christ. They rest in Christ. And he said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. How long is never? Well, there's no end to it. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So they preserved in Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. In him that God has given me, I will in no wise cast out. I came down to heaven not to do my own will individually or separately, but as a man I had to take their place and to represent them and to die for them. Not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which have sent me. This is, see that? Of all which ye have given me, I might lose one. That ain't what he said, is it? I should lose nothing, but should raise them up again at the last day. They are preserved, ain't they, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they shall in time be glorified. They'll be made like Christ and with Christ, won't they? They'll be glorified. They will receive a heavenly inheritance. God will see to it. That's their reward. Our reward is glory, ain't it? We will see him in glory. Christ is our reward. We will be with him and see him. It's not something that we earned or that we purchased, but it's something that he purchased for us. See that? And to preach the degrees of righteousness or the degrees of glory for man to be glorified is based upon works. That's to preach salvation by works. To preach salvation by works is to preach a false gospel, a damning gospel. That's what it is. Damning to the souls of men.